go with this dream, God, that I believe is from you, and share it and get it out there. I'm going to receive more dreams to share with you as a body. Amen. And so that we can be encouraged. So this is, I have a lot of dreams, but this is the first one I've ever felt led by the Spirit to share. So I just couldn't shake it. So I said, okay, God, we're going to run with this. Amen. So the dream is in the second page of the handout. And so we're going to go in detail with it today. And as we leave here, be encouraged by this today. And that God speaks to us in many different ways. Not just his word, it will agree with his word. But we're so thankful for God speaking to us in many different ways. Have you ever just been driving through town and there's a church billboard, you know, and then you read that and you're like, yeah. Or you just pick up the local newspaper and there's something in there that just grabs your spirit. You're like, yeah, that ministers to me. So that's God, that's spirit speaking to you to encourage you. But in the dream, when I woke up, I was just really excited. I was really still preaching it, so to speak. But I walked into a room, and as I walked into the room, there was a group of people in the room, and they were all huddled around a calendar on the wall, and the calendar was really big, and the month of May really stood out on the calendar. And some of the group seemed to be getting upset because an appointment date had been changed, just by one day. It had been changed. And they could not understand why, so they were talking about why the date had been changed. And as I stood in the background viewing the people, I began to see that there was a lack of trust in the group of people, so to speak, that they were putting their trust in a calendar. And the dates on the calendar, I knew, were subject to change. And so I began to tell them and to begin to encourage them that it was only a calendar. It was only just a day. But I listened, folks, I began to say, that's not God. That's not what you're looking at is temporal, so to speak. You know, that God is not subject to change. And so I began to encourage them and began to tell them that we should have our trust in the Lord and his ever, never changing word. And he's not like dates on a calendar that can be changed for whatever reason. Amen. So as I went on to explain to them that what we see in the natural is subject to change. And I remember in the dream going around and touching people's arms and squeezing on them and saying, listen, this is temporal. What you taste, see, touch, and feel, this is temporal things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I just was so excited to be able to tell them not to put their trust in dates. And as we're going to go through this, we're going to begin to see. And as I went on to explain to them, what we see in the natural is subject to change. But we as born-again believers of God, we serve a supernatural God. Amen. We're a kingdom people. And the kingdom of God lives inside of us. And our trust cannot be in horses and chariots. Amen. Our trust cannot be in man because man will fail you. People will fail you. Dreams will die. Promises get broken. Amen. But we must always have our trust, faith in the one that never changes. Amen. So that which we taste, touch, feel, and see are all subject to change, but not God, not his settled word. And that's where our faith is. Amen. So I want to give you a word today that what I took away from this dream, and I believe what the Lord would want us to say us for us today. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, thank you for just being who you are. You're our Savior. You're our all-sufficient one, the more than enough. And as our pastor said, the I am. Whatever you need me to be, God says to you today, I am. And your word tells us in Hebrews that you will never in any circumstance desert us, nor give up on us, nor leave us without support. Nor will you any degree, leave us helpless. Nor will you forsake or let us down or relax your hold on us. You said that you would assuredly not. Wow, what a promise from God. Thank you for being our good, good shepherd. Because of that, we lack no good thing. We will follow where you lead. And not only will you speak to us through your word, thank you for the many, many other ways, avenues you speak to us. And as we look into this dream today, we believe you're speaking to us to remind us about trusting you. Things may change, but you remain the same, God. Dates on the calendar of our life are just that, dates, and they may change. But your word you have for our lives remain the same. Help us to discern the word. Help us to discern the word that you have for us and how to apply it to our life as we continue with our relationship with you. And everybody said amen. So in the dream, I really noticed that the month of May stood out vividly on the calendar. And as I began to think about the month of May, I began to think about how it was the fifth month. Numbers are very important to God, and they all mean something. So May is the fifth month of this of our year. And the number five symbolizes God's grace, goodness and favor toward people. I really want you to get the word today. If you can't hear it on this. Amen. I'll go ahead and use this so you get that hooked up. Because I can't talk without my hands. It's a woman thing. Our vocal cords and our hands operate together, see. Amen. So let's go on here. So the number five symbolizes. Just give me a thumbs up when you get that turned on. The number five symbolizes God's grace, goodness, and favor toward people. And it's mentioned 318 times in Scripture. Five is the number of grace multiplied by itself, which is 25, and grace upon grace. And John 1:16 tells us, for out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Now I can really preach. We have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift upon heaped upon gift. Amen. So May is quickly winding down. But I want to remind you that it's only a calendar month. Amen. It's only a calendar month with blocks of days in it. And I found out that things that happen today, 90% of it won't matter tomorrow. The devil will want you to think it will, but some stuff won't even matter tomorrow. Those little things won't matter tomorrow. So it's just the time we have to go by. The Lord we belong to is time himself. He is time. Hallelujah. We just have time to help us get through this journey that we're on, to keep us in line, so to speak. So today we're going to be set free and take our Lord out of the block days of the calendar, take him out of that box, and remember he is time himself. And I need to remind you again that he may seem late coming through sometimes on our timetable, our time frame, but he is always a right on time Lord and right when we need him. He has the perfect timing, even though we may not seem like it sometimes. So I used the word upset at the first of the thing today, but I saw the people in the dream wasn't as much upset as they were not understanding why the date had been changed. Because if you've ever got your doctor's appointment like 3 months ahead of time and you're waiting to go or some other appointment, and then like 2 days before they call and cancel it, and you have already made all other arrangements to get to that appointment, you know, you're like, what? You know? So because they were not so much upset as they were not understanding why the date had been changed, they seemed more confused, probably, than upset. And so we must remember that a calendar day is a block, as I said, at a time. It's just a block of time in a day. And when we put God in those single boxes of our everyday life, we have him boxed in. And so when we have him boxed in, we put God on our time frame that says, this is when I want it to happen, and this is how I want it to happen. And if you don't mind, we'll add a lot of other things to it. So when he doesn't come through on our blocked out day, we get discouraged sometimes, and then we begin to wonder why. And then that's what brings in the confusion. And then when we're expecting a breakthrough, an answer to prayer, or God to move for us in a situation, and it doesn't happen within that block of time, it leaves us aside to question. And I found out in my experience, in my relationship with God, when I begin to question what I don't understand, that's when confusion comes in. Because I begin to ask why, instead of trusting the all-sufficient one and the all-knowing one. I may not know why, I may not know when, but I know God's going to do it again. Amen? So we need a miracle within that block of time. So We need that breakthrough in that block of time. And sometimes it don't happen the way that we want it to happen, or even the way that we've prayed about it happening. Amen? So we get unsettled and forget that God's timeline is perfect. He knows what we need when we need it and the time we need it by. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, of nothing missing, nothing broken. God is not the author of confusion. So if you're feeling confusion in your life, it's a spiritual attack against your mind to begin to question why God. Why didn't you come through in that block of time that I set aside for you to come through? So if you're experiencing confusion and not peace, it's not of God. If you are beginning to question, it's not of God. Amen? So getting the saints confused, or confused also means unable to think clearly, and it also means to unsettle. It also means to feel unsettled. So getting the saints confused, like I said, is a spiritual attack of the enemy, because he wants you to begin to question why. Why did it happen when you thought it was supposed to? And when we begin to question, that's where the confusion comes in. Just like it did in the garden. You know, the devil has spent years viewing us and scoping us out. And just his tactic has not changed since the beginning of time. The method, the way he attacks people have, because their society has changed. Amen? But the same thing is, why did God tell you not to eat from that particular tree? He must be trying to withhold something from you. And that's the same way we do if we choose to put God in that calendar block of our days, is we begin to say, the enemy comes in, he begins to bring confusion. We say, well, now why did not God do that for you today? You prayed about it. You fasted on it. You sought God on it with tears and intercession. And look, it's midnight, and it ain't happened yet, and you're getting ready to go into a block of another day. But I'll tell you today, church, the devil is a liar. And God is a good God, and he's got the best interest of you in mind. And he's trying to get all of his goodness, his mercy, and grace to you. And he doesn't want you confused. At times in our life, there is a trust God gap with everything. The moment that we receive that word, there is a trust God gap from the time that we receive that word, and it becomes a rhema to us, and we say, that's a promise for God. I can latch hold of it. It's mine. There's that trust factor that comes in. Amen. And sometimes we don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. So what do we do when the dates are changed in our life? And one thing I know about life is a chapter, like chapters in a book. And sometimes we get to that page of that next chapter, there's a blank there. There's a blank page there. So there's this next chapter coming. So sometimes it may take a little while for that next chapter to unfold. And you know, if God doesn't bring it at the time that we think he's supposed to and how that he is supposed to, we ought to be thankful, because we must trust that he sees the bigger picture, and he could be trying to protect us. And most of the time, he's trying to protect us from our own selves and not other people. Because if he gave us what we wanted all the time, some of us would be in big trouble. Amen. So what do we do when the dates are changed in our lives? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. When confusion comes in, that's when you begin to lean into your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust, believe in, reliability, truth, ability, or strength. Lean not unto your own understanding. And when you are leaning, when you lean something, it is to prop yourself up against something. Do not prop yourself up. Do not trust your own understanding, because it is human, it is temporal, and it will fail. But God says, when you lean into me and you lean into my word and you prop yourself up on my word, it's a sure thing. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen. I've got you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I surely will not. That's leaning into God and not leaning into our own understanding. It's leaning into his word and not leaning into our own understanding. That's propping ourselves upon the word and not in our own understanding. According to Solomon, man's wisdom or understanding cannot support the weight of our lives, the challenges we face, the decisions that we need to make on a daily basis sometimes. God's wisdom, I read, is like a firm tree with deep roots, able to support the weight of our lives or those things we go through as we lean against Him in full trust. And don't think that you can't take anything to our shepherd, to our daddy God, to our Father. His shoulders is big enough. He already knows it anyway. Amen. So just lean into Him and say, hey, I need to lean on you, Lord. I don't understand this. I don't know why it didn't happen in this block of time. But I know that you've already got my life chapter by chapter. And I'm going to lean into you until I see it happen. Because I know it's promised in your word that it will. So as you look at the calendars of your life, the dates will get changed. It's not when they do, it's if when and they do. Amen, because life happens. So it's not if they do, it's when they do. How are you going to handle it? Who are you going to lean into? Amen. Are you going to trust in the horses and chariots? Or are you going to trust in the one that has a settled word for you? And when they do not, but when they do, trust in the Lord with your heart. Lean on Him. When it doesn't happen the way you planned it, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on Him. When promises from those closest to you are broken, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on Him. The Message Bible says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. That's where the confusion comes in. If you're trying to figure out everything on your own, you are unsettled. You are walking in confusion. But He says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, because He is the one that will keep you on track. And when you are unsettled, you know, those people that are in the Olympics, they have to be focused to what they've been trained to do. Amen. And we as saints of God have been trained in the Word. We've heard the word grace here, God's mercy and love. We've been trained in that. So it says, fix your eyes. Stay focused. But once that runner or whatever the athlete is, once he becomes unfocused on that goal, and those things start happening around him, it will cause him to become unsettled. And he won't be able to finish the race. So in the dream, I began to tell the people, it was only calendar dates, people. It's only a block of time in a calendar. Don't put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in the blocks of calendars on the calendar. We'll get changed in life, but that's not like God. That is how we view our God or His Word. That is not how we view God or His Word concerning us. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change, but remain faithful to my covenant with you. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not human that He should lie. Not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then act? Does He promise and not fulfill? When the enemy comes in and wants you to start being confused, remember the scriptures. Say, wait a minute, not today, Satan. Your word tells me in Numbers, Lord, that you don't lie. You're not like the rest of us. You don't change your mind. You've not spoken, and then you won't act on it, but you have spoken and you will act on it. The immutability, is that how you pronounce that, Pastor? Immutability of God is the principle that God does not change. He is the same today as He was 1,000 years ago. God's nature does not change. You can't make Him more holier than what He is. Amen? His character, His attributes, all of those is in the immutability of God. That's a principle that He does not change. And when something changes in the natural, it's made better, worse, or different. Amen? When situations come in our life, it either makes us better or bitter, or it could get worse, or things could be different. God, being is perfect, cannot be made better or develop into a holier being than who He already is. He is who He is. He is the I Am. The immutability of God is important because it assures us, as His sons and daughters, the role that He plays in our lives. When we begin to understand that word, Psalms 90 verse 2 says, "For the mountains were born, or you thought forth, you brought forth the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." Before he spoke this world into existence, he already had it all planned out. His word, church, was already in heaven. And he knew that he was going to have some prophets and people that he was going to inspire to write this word. It was already there. It just wasn't a last-minute idea on God. It was already there. He just spoke it into existence. It just didn't happen one day. Amen. And when the dates on the calendar of our lives get changed, we can be sure God will sustain us in hard times. He will not leave us, but he will guide us as the good shepherd that we've been talking about. Psalms 44:8 says, "In peace I will lay down and sleep, for you alone make me dwell in safety." So we can be assured of God's plan for our lives. He has not forgotten you. You're not some last-minute idea in the mind of God. What he had already established before the mountains were formed and all that, he had you on his mind. And he knew that you were going to be in this time. Amen. And in this place. When we begin to understand this immutability of God, it gives us comfort, confidence, security in who we are as his sons and daughters and who God is as our Father and as our shepherd. Knowing God does not change, knowing the immutability of God does not change, provides us with an anchor, something that we can lean with, something that we can hold on to, an anchor when things change in our life, because things do change. And so when we're pulled during the day or at times in our life in different directions and we're searching for those answers. Now, searching for answers is different than asking why. Because when you question why, to me, I'm questioning God's authority and God's character. But when I search for answers, it's a different situation. So we can know that God is constant, dependable, and faithful to hear us when we go to him in search of answers. So our trust in the Lord and his never-changing word when the dates on the calendar gets changed in our lives. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, standing firm and unchangeable." So there's one thing about it. We're a computer age, amen? They're everywhere. God does not have delete buttons. He does not have to have an edit button because he doesn't have to go back and rewrite what he's already brought into existence. Amen. So he doesn't have an edit button. He doesn't have a delete button. In other words, you think you've messed up and God's took you out of the picture. He's not. Amen. He's not put a delete button on you. Amen. So or change his word or revise his opinions. If he said it here, it's not been revised. If he said it here, it's not been redone. Amen. So the word, it was settled in heaven in the mind of God. And like I was talking about a while ago, and then sometime later it was written by earthly men who were moved by God's Holy Spirit. He knew all along what he was going to do. He knew all along what he was going to do. So, the word translated forever is from the Hebrew word, O-L-A-M, and it's used over 420 times in the Old Testament, and it means everlasting, forever, unending. It's a word that specifies that there is no beginning and no ending of something. Wow. There is no ending and no beginning of something. Just like the love of God for you and his plan for you. There's no ending and there's no beginning of it. Amen. The word does not change like dates on a calendar that can be changed. You're never going to get a call from God and say, "I've changed my mind." Amen. You're never going to get a call of God and say, "Your appointment with me has changed." He can't be trusted. So in the dream, I began to explain to the people that what we see in the natural is subject to change. And that which we taste, feel, and see and touch in this natural world are all subject to change. That's why we don't put our trust in those things. So we don't put our trust in the natural around us. 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Well, the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable." The Message Bible says it this way. So we're not giving up. When the dates on our calendar of life change, we are not giving up. Because how could we? Now, that part went in the Message Bible. I thought it was good, so I put it in there. Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. Woo! These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good time, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things that we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. And that's why I said a while ago, the things that we so get upset about today and question today, tomorrow when we wake up, it won't make no difference. It's a new day. And the Bible says that God's mercies are new every day. So do not look at does not mean ignore. But Paul is saying do not keep looking at it or gazing at it. Do not fix your eyes on it to the point that you begin to question. That causes confusion. Another translation says don't fix your eyes on it. The block of time in our life changes and will change. The block of times in our life will change. But we don't allow our eyes to fixate on that which is temporal. Amen. So we take away from this message today that the dream that was spoken was from the Lord. And it's not based on the timing of God or the blocks on the calendar. But just because it did happen when you thought it was going to, and the date got changed, believe that it was for good. For God sees a bigger picture. And He is painting on the canvas of your life. Even though He knows the bigger picture and He's got it all planned out, every day He's painting on the canvas of your life to make you what He's already declared you to be. And when we go through life, you know, and I got that painting on the canvas one time when I was going through something, and I saw, and you can call it whatever you will, but I seen the back of what I knew that it was the Lord. And He was painting on the canvas when I looked over His shoulder. That's when He began to say that to me. He said, I'm painting on the canvas of your life one stroke at a time, and as you go, I will reveal myself to you of who you are. And then, once that revelation happens, oh God, you blessed me. You made me special. A stroke. You got it, girl. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been healed. Hallelujah. Of old memories and things. Stroke. You got it, girl. Hallelujah. And I tell you, church, when that final stroke happens, we're going to be in the arms of our Lord. Woo! We'll be face to face with Him then. Hallelujah. Some of you need to let Him stroke on the canvas of your life as you get more and more in revelation. Now, when I learned about grace, that was a big stroke. That was a big stroke, amen, when I began to get the revelation of grace. So He's painting on the canvas of your life, and He is not finished yet. So take Him out of that block, take Him out of that box, and just let Him be God. And just, He made you who you are. He made your personality for a reason. He has to define it sometimes and kind of find it up. Amen. But He knows who you are, and He knows your personality. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So when it looks like the most unlikely, get ready for God to show up and surprise you. And He loves to surprise His sons and daughters. He loves to surprise His kids. And there are seasons of waiting, seasons of being faithful. There's a gap time of trust and doing the right thing when everything seems hard. When everything seems hard, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Because this too shall pass. So when you're going through that hard patch in life and you're going through that gap of trust, you just look at Satan, this too shall pass. I don't quit today. This too shall pass. Tomorrow, I may be tempted to quit, but I'm not quitting because this too shall pass. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you ever wanted to doubt or be discouraged, if you ever wanted to doubt or be discouraged, talk yourself out of it. David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Amen. Not everybody's going to encourage you. Not even church folk. Amen. So if you ever wanted to doubt or be discouraged, talk yourself out of it. Amen. woo! I tell you what, the pot's been stirred today. Hallelujah. So don't try to get out of anything. Just go ahead and jump in. He'll work it all out later. Oh, my challenge to you is we don't quit on Sunday. So if you come today thinking you're going to quit on yourself, I'm here to tell you it ain't going to happen. Amen? Because we don't quit on Sunday. Now, tomorrow we'll have another day to be tempted to quit, but we don't quit on Mondays either. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So God can work things out suddenly, unexpectedly, and in a way that you didn't see coming. About the time you think it's all over, bam! Some of us need some bams. So stop and think what He can do in your life by this time tomorrow. And what I thought about that, I thought about Elisha. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says about this time tomorrow. It could happen before you get out of church today. It could happen before you get home today. Is anybody sensing what I'm sensing? There's something happening. Hear the word of the Lord, Elijah replied. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seal of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seeds of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. About this time tomorrow, you can have that financial breakthrough. About this time tomorrow, whatever's causing that pain in your body is not going to cost it no more. About that time tomorrow, you can get that call from your child that says, Mama, I'm coming home. Woo! About this time tomorrow, that doctor could call, office could call, and say, that report that I told you that said this, it's not that. We just had a lady at the TR program where I work. She had lost weight and was getting sick, and she came to the office. I've been to the doctor. They've done a test. They said it was colon cancer. I've got a tumor that big, but I've also got a hernia. It's a really dangerous surgery. I probably won't be able to live through it. But she said, I've got to have it. And I said, well, let's just pray. So I pray for people. I close the door, and what I do behind closed doors, if they don't find out about it, ain't none of their business. Amen? So we prayed for her. She came back 2 weeks later, said the tumor's there. It's not cancerous. It's benign. And all of that, she was needing hernia surgery for a long, long, long time, and they would not do it because they was afraid that she would die on the operating table. But now they said, we're going to do it because we've got to take out the tumor, and we're going to remove the hernia while we're there. Woo! About this time tomorrow, about this time right now, God can move for you. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Woo! And this scripture talks about a time when there's a great famine. And sometimes we go through life, our spiritual walk with God, where it seems like everything is just dry. Nothing's happening. That's why we need the BAMs. 4 lepers were sitting outside the city, and they said one to another, we've not nothing to lose. We're going to die anyway. That's what I said a while ago. Just go ahead and jump in. You have not got nothing to lose anyway. Nothing's working out anyway. So you might as well just jump in and say, I'm coming head first, God. Amen. They said to each other, we've not nothing to lose. We're going to die anyway. So we're going to go down to the enemy's camp, and we're going to go see what they're doing. How many knows that God can reveal the plot of the enemy against you? Amen. He can say, this is what's been plotted against you, but I'm going to turn it around because this is what you need to do. Amen. So they said, we've got nothing to lose. Let's go down there and find out what's going on. So as they walked toward the enemy, God multiplied the sound of their footsteps, and it sounded like a huge army was coming. That's why when you walk, you're anointed, your feet's anointed, and when you walk into a dark place, your feet's anointed, and when you walk, darkness just dissipates. Amen?
And when you walk in that darkness, whether it's in the darkness of your family that's acting stupid or wherever you're at, God's going to multiply the anointing on your feet. Hey. Woo! God's going to anoint your feet to trample on some things. Hallelujah. That's been harassing you, those little foxes. Glory to God. Woo! Hey. Glory to God. And you know what the enemy did? They panicked. And started running for their lives. This is what happens when you take God out of the box. And don't confine him to that block of the calendar. That just says go or just let it go. And they left all their food and supplies. The lepers went back and told the Israelites what had happened. And what was interesting is the prophet Elijah just said the day before, there will be so much food before this ever happened. Some of you need to start prophesying over your situation. You don't need a prophet or prophet to stand up and give you a word, thank God for, but you're the prophet of your own life, Kenneth Copeland said. And I got a revelation of that one day, so I just started prophesying to myself. That's what some of you need to do, start prophesying to yourself. You think, well, what if I say the wrong thing? God's big enough to take care of the wrong thing you may say, okay? Hallelujah. So Elijah prophesied the day before. The enemy panicked, took off from their lives, they left all the food. And Elijah, just the day before, prophesied, there will be so much food you could buy a loaf of bread for one penny. And God told them, by this time tomorrow, it's going to happen. That seemed completely impossible. After all, they were in the middle of famine. I tell you, our blessing is not based on the economy. The paycheck I get every 2 weeks where I work is not based on where I work. It's based upon the blessing of God that he has put me where I'm supposed to be at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. Quit grumbling and complaining where you're at, because it's right where you're supposed to be at. And once you quit grumbling and complaining, there's going to be a new door open. Come on, somebody. That's for somebody. Once you stop grumbling and complaining, you're going to be able to hear the voice more clearly. And God's going to say, this is the way. Walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there was no way in the natural. Remember, we talked about temporal things. No way in the temporal areas, temporal senses. But we have and we serve a supernatural God. Amen. I think I'll run home instead of drive. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. And God's going to do that for you, church. I don't care what everybody around you is saying. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You keep your eyes fixed on his word. You keep leaning into him. And he's going to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And the naysayer and all those around you are going to stand as astonished. And then they're going to say, what's going on? That's when you're going to be able to say, well, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about my Yahweh. Let me tell you about the I Am. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to tell somebody today, he has some by this time tomorrow's for you. Amen. He has some this time tomorrow's for you. Amen. He has this time tomorrow's for you. That means he can make things happen faster than you think. And when I read that, I thought about the word we had Wednesday. You need to come on Wednesday night because you don't never know what's going to happen. One of the words that God gave us Wednesday night, that this is a season of acceleration. And when something is accelerated, it means that it's going faster. Things don't accelerate unless somebody is in the throne room praying. Acceleration just don't fall out of anywhere because somebody has got a hold of the word and went before God and said, God, I'm going to put you in remembrance of your word. I will remind you of the promises that you said to me. And God says, listen, I hear my son, I hear my daughter crying out to me about something. Hey, let's get this thing going, angels. Let's cause this thing to begin to accelerate in their life. They've endured as a good soldier. They've endured. They've been patient. They've been confessing my word. They've been witnessing. Let's make this thing happen for them. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Oh, da 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 mashadotokuhusatadea. Hallelujah. Just turn to your neighbor and tell them, this time tomorrow, Pastor, this time tomorrow, it could happen. I believe and I receive in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of fellowship that we've had around your table. It's been so good that everybody's come and they brought something to the table today. We've been so encouraged by praise and worship, by people's testimonies, Father, and by your word that was ministered. We serve you because you're just such an awesome Father to us. Thank you for that today. Now, Lord, I decree and declare your blessing over your people. I decree and declare that you are highly favored, that you are the head and not the tail, and wherever you go, your feet is anointed, and you're going to thunder in the kingdom of darkness. As you go out there into the world, the yes. glory of the Lord is going to be seen upon you.
Amen.
And the church said amen.
Amen.
Remember to stay for punch and cake. And we got another little surprise, so remember to stay.
I got a mic. We're going. That special thing that Sister Shirley was talking about, not only is this a little celebration for the graduation, but it's a celebration of one of our dearest members here. Today is his birthday, Mr. Sam Holmes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday.